It's about to be summer, and while that means sunshine and maybe some time off and maybe even a chance to relax, it also means summer entertainment.
Whether you're ready to venture out into theaters or you're still enjoying the comforts of your couch, we are here to talk about some of the best stuff that's coming straight to you. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. Today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, a guide to some of the most exciting TV, movies, and music you can check out this summer. Here with me and Stephen from his home studio is Glenn Weldon of NPR's Culture Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Surf's up, Linda.
And also here from her home is Aisha Harris. Hey, Aisha.
Hey, Linda.
Always good when we are all together. It's worth mentioning, I think, that TV and movies are still coming back from long COVID delays, lots of rescheduling, lots of delayed production. That's still affecting what's coming out and when, but there are a lot of big movies coming to theaters this summer, many of them only to theaters, which I would say was a little bit less true last year at this time. At the same time, there are streaming shows coming, streaming films coming, albums coming. We just want to talk about some of the things that we are most excited about. I think in many cases, you will find these are things we have not seen yet. There are the things that we are really looking forward to. We've each picked two things to highlight, so let's get going. Aisha, you are up first.
Well, there are some movies that their headline, their title is a mouthful to say. The unbearable weight of massive talent. Everything, everywhere, all at once. And then there's others that are very, you know, succinct to the point, like Ambulance or Nope, which is the movie that I am probably most excited for this summer. It is Jordan Peele, back at it again. The trailer just gets you in the mood. You have Kiki Palmer, you have Daniel Kaluuya, who is returning after working with Jordan Peele in his feature debut, Get Out. We know very little about what this movie is about, which is always a good sign with Jordan Peele, because I feel like the less we know going into anything he's working on, the better. There are small hints in the trailer. It opens up with Kiki Palmer's character talking about how one of the first moving images created was of a Black man riding a horse, and she claims that it's her great-great-grandfather and that she is now part of a collective. They are the only Black horse trainers in Hollywood. But then the trailer is just lots of images going back and forth, and it's great. You have Stevie Wonder's Fingertips Part 2 being cut and sliced and made into creepy music the way we do with trailers. And I saw people trying to decode the movie already, which if you're doing that, you're doing it wrong. Like, don't do that with a Jordan Peele movie. I'm excited for Nope. I think the title is great. I think it's perfect. I'm ready for the Kiki Palmer ascendance. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think this is her year, and I feel like this is going to put her where she's been trending to be since the beginning of her career. So that is Nope.
Well, this for me is the beginning of the story of this episode, which is Linda got her picks in last. And one of the things I definitely would have picked is Nope. Glenn, you have a pick. Give me your first pick.
All right, my first pick is Fire Island, a film coming to Hulu on June 3rd. Please note, let the record show that I made this pick before the trailer dropped and proceeded to get shared by every homosexual I follow and many that I don't. This is a film written by and starring the very funny Joel Kim Booster, about whom we've talked about a lot on the show, directed by Andrew Ahn, who I don't think we have. He directed two films I really like called Spa Night and Driveways. Both of those movies are really kind of quiet and introspective. This doesn't seem to be. This seems to be a kind of raucous gay rom-com set in a very privileged queer vacation destination, Fire Island. And the idea behind this movie is just so simple and inevitable. It kind of brings you up short because you think, why hasn't somebody done this already? You take the bones of Pride and Prejudice and you map it over the way that gay men tend to sort ourselves into these very insular cliques based on things like race and income level and age and body fat percentage, frankly. It just works. It matters who's telling the story, because the film's two leads are Booster and Bowen Yang. It's going to be telling this very familiar story from a perspective we haven't seen a lot before. It is going to be directly addressing, according to the trailer at least, it's going to be directly addressing the white, rich, cis privilege of the queer community and of Fire Island in particular. So even not having seen it yet, which I haven't, I can tell you that it matters that the writer and director are queer Asian Americans. It matters that the entire cast is queer, something they made a point of, and they made a point of that for a reason. There is, in the trailer, a kind of earnestness and sincerity that, you know, maybe it's not made for my clique of old, bitter, jaded queers. We'll know when we see it. But if the question before us is, what am I most looking forward to? What am I most curious about? What am I most hopeful can advance the gay rom-com out of the kind of rut it's been stuck in? It's got to be this. Fire Island, Hulu, on June 3rd.
Let the record show that while Linda picked last, I picked first. And I thought about picking Nope and Fire Island just to be a jerk to my fellow panelists. And I passed up the opportunity to do so.
Wait, so you, like, did us a favor? Thank you, Steven.
Thanks, straight white guy.
I would not have spared my fellow panelists. I would have picked whatever I wanted. But I am still excited about my pick. And my first pick is Thor, Love and Thunder. This is another Taika Waititi Thor movie. Mm-hmm. Look, you've got in the world your Thor Ragnarok people, and you're not so much Thor Ragnarok people. There is a strain of people who want their superhero movies and their Marvel movies and their Thor movies specifically to be more the Kenneth Branagh variety, the kind of very stoic,
thunderous,
theatrical, thunderous kind of thing. And then you have your Thor Ragnarok people like me. I think Thor Ragnarok was full of good jokes. There are many things that I loved about it. And not for nothing, the thing that I liked the most about Thor, the original MCU Thor, was Natalie Portman. And Natalie Portman is coming back for this movie. So you got your Chris Hemsworth, you got your Natalie Portman, you got your Tessa Thompson. At this point with the MCU, I want funny movies. I am somewhat over practically everything else. But I do love this director. I'm psyched for this. I'm psyched for this. So that is my pick, Thor, Love and Thunder. It's coming out July 8th in theaters. Stephen Thompson, you now have a pick to present in the category Linda picked last.
Well, you know, we don't often dedicate entire Pop Culture Happy Hour episodes to comic books, but that is just how smitten we were with Ms. Marvel all the way back in 2015 when we talked about how much we loved this wonderful, wonderful series of a story about a Muslim teenager in New Jersey named Kamala Khan. It's kind of this mixture of like a coming-of-age story with a superhero origin story set against her upbringing and home life and the complications that being a Muslim with Muslim parents, how that might complicate your life as a teenage superhero. It is now being spun off at long last into a TV series that is about to drop on June 8th on Disney Plus. And the trailer dropped recently. Watching it, it just made me glad that this is being developed as a TV series instead of as a movie. You don't have to shoehorn all of that character development into 2 hours. You get to kind of slow burn that story instead of cramming it. I'm just really excited about it. I love the story so much. Like watching the trailer, they've kind of dialed back her powers a little bit and kind of probably for a little bit more limited special effects budget. But I'm just here for it. I'm just here to swim around with these characters and get to know them all over again. Hope I love the TV show.
Great pick, Stephen. I am excited about that one too. Ms. Marvel is coming on Disney Plus on June 8th. Thank you very much for that one, Thompson. We are going to move on to second picks. Aisha, give me your second pick.
All right. So my second pick is, that was my best Linda Belcher impression. I tried. So I'm very excited for the Bob's Burgers movie. I've seen every episode at least once, and I'm still keeping up with the current season. You know, every week my partner and I will sit down, have dinner, and watch the newest episode. And we are excited for this movie. I don't know much about it. Again, little has been divulged. We know the main cast will be there. Bob, the family, Linda, Tina, all of them. And apparently they have like a week to keep the restaurant afloat. So there's this time crunch. And then the kids are getting into a mystery of some sort to try and save the restaurant. The trailer is a lot of Gene just yelling things at the other siblings and lots of one-off liners. We know there's also going to be, of course, some music, which I'm very, very excited about. Because if there's one thing that, I mean, there's many things Bob's Burgers does well, but one of the best things is obviously the music and the songs. So I'm excited for an hour and a half or however long it is, like a feature film with this family. I think it'll be fun. The one thing is that it's going to be in theaters, but I do worry that this film has kind of gotten buried, and I mm-hmm. probably would have been fine seeing it on streaming first. It's TV. Like, it's TV on a big screen. And it'll be fun to spend that time with this family. And Tina is the person, the character that I was most like. I love her, and I'm excited to see what things she gets into and how many butts she ogles and all that fun stuff.
I will be right there with you.
Thank you very much, Aisha Harris. The Bob's Burgers movie is coming out May 27th. Again, it is only in theaters, as Aisha mentioned. Glenn, you have a second pick, which is not only in theaters. Tell me about your second pick.
This is a new Kids in the Hall series debuting on Amazon Prime on May 13th. I mean, my comedic sensibility was shaped early on by SCTV, but in college, by both Letterman and Kids in the Hall, leaning into the weird, the conceptual, some very surreal humor that would never get past a table read at SNL, or if it did, it would get slotted into the 12:50 p.m. position. They are a Canadian comedy troupe whose show on HBO ran from 1988 to 1995. They've got five members, all white dudes, yes. One queer member, the legendary Scott Thompson. But when they would have female characters in a sketch, which was often, their drag wasn't Uncle Milty, Monty Python drag, screeching, mocking, kind of misogynistic. Nor was it anything like drag queen, like fierce, fabulous fantasy. It was something completely of itself, something that wasn't pushed too hard into caricature. They were trying to find the character. Mannerisms they gave their women characters were based on really close observation. And I remember coming home from college before I came out to my parents and forcing them to watch Kids in the Hall along with me. And I noticed how discomfited it made them, how, not that they didn't get the humor, but it just wasn't made for them. It was made for me. But this will be five very funny comedians getting back together to create new material. How will it age? I don't know. So let's hurry up and watch it. That's the Kids in the Hall premiere May 13th on Amazon Prime.
All right. Thank you, buddy. For my second pick, so one of the movies that is a gigantic comfort food pick for me that I do not talk about a whole lot is the 90s era Nancy Meyers Father of the Bride with Steve Martin. It stars Steve Martin and Diane Keaton as, you know, these parents, this daughter's getting married. It is obviously a remake of a Spencer Tracy movie where Elizabeth Taylor played his daughter who was getting married. I love a family movie. I think Steve Martin, this is a very particular era of Steve Martin. You know, you definitely do not want to spend too much time with kind of the harried father paying for the expensive wedding. Like, it gets very, like literally very patriarchal in this particular way. But it is a movie that I have always thought was funny and really ultimately really sweet. There's a moment in that movie where Steve Martin, who is a sneaker magnate, has a bedazzled pair of tennis shoes made for his daughter for her to wear under her wedding dress. And when my sister got married a few years after this movie, which we both loved, I made her a pair of bedazzled tennis shoes, which she wore at the reception under her dress when she got out of her heels. So, long way around of saying, I was really sort of psyched to hear that they were doing a remake of this with a Latinx family. Andy Garcia is the patriarch. Gloria Estefan is the mom. And I am really psyched, mostly because I just think this is really, like, my guess is it's going to be a little updated in terms of the dynamics of the family. I could be wrong. Watch me be wrong. I will 1,000,000% sit down with this on HBO Max and have me a glass of wine and enjoy some Father of the Bride. So that is my second pick, Father of the Bride, coming to HBO Max starring Andy Garcia. I'm so excited. Steven, you are going to bring us home with your final pick.
So I think everything we've talked about on this show has been things that are not yet out. Either we've seen trailers or we're just excited about the people who are involved. I actually have heard the album that is my second pick, though it's not out until June 24th. It is the new album by the queer electropop band Muna, made up of three women and non-binary musicians. They put out a couple of great records a few years ago and then got dropped by their label. Last year, they signed with Phoebe Bridgers' label Satisfactory Records, which is a wonderful, wonderful name, and put out one of the best pop singles of 2021. It is the song Silk Chiffon. Let's hear a little bit of it. Now, there is a certain cruelty to releasing the song of the summer in September. I spent all fall, all winter, and all of the spring loving the song Silk Chiffon, which has a guest appearance by Phoebe Bridgers on it. Now the album that leads off with Silk Chiffon is finally coming out in June, and I will tell you, it is wonderful. This band pulls together influences from everybody from Robin to Tegan and Sara to the Weepies to 90s country. You get little Shania Twain leaks in here and there. Mm-hmm. This band is just bringing so much together. When the world feels like a full toilet coming to a slow boil.
Wow.
You can just marinate in the wonders of Silk Chiffon.
I don't want to marinate. Don't use the word marinate when you just said slow boil.
Yeah, the visuals and the scent.
I'm so sorry. But anyway, the song Silk Chiffon has a passage, life's so fun, life's so fun. That's the kind of stuff we're dealing with here. This album is pure joy. But it's also really sonically expansive. You just, like I said, hear so many influences. It's just wonderful. It's self-titled by the band Muna, coming out June 24th.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Those are our picks for what we are looking forward to this summer. Tell us what you are looking forward to watching or listening to this summer. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Up next, what is making us happy this week? Now it is time for our favorite segment of this week, and let's face it, every week, what's making us happy this week? Glenn Weldon, what is making you happy this week?
I am about halfway through Bob Odenkirk's new memoir, Comedy, 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 Drama, which was written before his heart attack, from which he has since recovered. It's Truth in Advertising, I'm going to tell you that much. If you've heard interviews with him, that's the Odenkirk you get here. He's proud of his accomplishments, rightly so. He does display a modesty that doesn't seem false. He is kind of grumpy, kind of irascible. He prides himself on being a truth teller. He spends a lot of time on this, about how hard it is to break into his profession and about the systems, the executives in particular, that make it hard to get into that particular profession. He is very opinionated about what comedy is and what it can do and what it should do. But, I mean, you can't say the guy doesn't have the career to back that up. This is the memoir of a very dedicated workaholic who expects a lot from himself and from others. It's not the kind of memoir to pick up if you just want stories about how everybody he's worked with is a genius, because he's just way too hard on himself and others to make that. It makes for better reading. I'm grateful for it. It also lays out very clearly his reasons for wanting to perform that mid-career pivot into drama and action. Of course, I recommend the audiobook because he's a born performer and he can really sell it. But it's authentically him, and that's the job of a memoir. That is Comedy, 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 Drama by Bob Odenkirk.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Aisha Harris, what is making you happy this week?
Okay, can I quiz you all really quick?
Okay.
What do PM Dawn, Sade, Jamiroquai, Stevie Wonder, and Garbage all have in common?
The year 1998.
So they all have in common that if you were walking into a Gap store in the 90s, you probably heard them blasting through the speakers. And what is making me happy is that I stumbled upon this article in Mel magazine titled "The Guy Collecting Every Gap Store Playlist Ever Made."
Oh,
so
wow.
This guy named Mike Bice, who is currently a elementary school computer teacher and former Gap employee who worked at the Gap for 15 years. And he's trying to collect every store in-store playlist from 1992 to 2006. And so in this article, he talks about how working at the Gap really made him sort of appreciate and listen to all of this music he never would have heard of before. And I never really thought of the Gap as being the type of place that would sort of cultivate a very specific kind of opinion on music. But he talks about how he wouldn't have heard acid jazz if it wasn't for the Gap or trip hop. And he talks about how at the Gap, they would put up the list of the songs for every month. And so all the employees, if they were curious about the music, they can go and find it. And as someone who worked in retail at one point in her life, I worked at an Urban Outfitters, which it was an interesting time. And the music there, I was there in the 2010s, so early 2010s. And that was, you know, the era of Animal Collective and all of this like super New York-y.
Grizzly Bear.
Yeah. And Regina Spektor, like all of that stuff. But I appreciate his love for it. I highly recommend reading more in this article and then checking out his website, which has become a collective endeavor. So that is The Guy Collecting Every Gap Store Playlist Ever Made in Mel Magazine.
All right, Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
Watch the movie Vinyl Nation, which is a 2020 documentary. It is a lovely, lovely documentary by the directors Christopher Boone and Kevin Smokler about the resurgence of vinyl as a way to enjoy music. And among the talking heads in this film is me. You can join me in my living room where they set up shop to film an interview with me. A bunch of other people more knowledgeable than I, including a bunch of wonderful musicians, talk about their love of vinyl and kind of the process of vinyl coming back and some of the challenges associated with that. It's a terrific movie that I would highly recommend, even if I weren't in it. It's available for streaming now. That's Vinyl Nation.
I doubled that recommendation, and I saw that one go by on streaming this week, and I was excited to see it. My pick this week for what is making me happy ran in Esquire this week, and it is by, you know, friend of the show and great human Dave Holmes, who had a conversation with one of my very favorite actors, Josh Charles, who, you know, Josh Charles doesn't always get a lot of talking about as an example of a really successful, you know, child slash teenage actor who transitioned really nicely into the career that he now has. You know, obviously you might know him from Dead Poets Society, but also then Sports Night and a bunch of other stuff. Sports Night comes up because of the nature of this interview. He's now appearing, Josh Charles, in We Own This City, which is the new David Simon series set in Baltimore. Josh Charles is a Baltimore guy. And Dave Holmes sat down to talk to him about kind of turning 50 and working post-pandemic and his family. And, you know, it's this really casual, nice, friendly, kind of formatted as a Q&A conversation between these two guys that includes the most quietly devastating take on Aaron Sorkin that I have ever read in my life. And it is not, I hate that guy. And it is not that guy is not talented. Because as I said, he was in Sports Night, so he's done this dialogue. But mostly it's just a really friendly, warm, like, couple of guys talking sort of conversation. I greatly, greatly recommend that you read it. It's called An Honest Conversation with Josh Charles. It's in Esquire by Dave Holmes. Could not recommend it more highly. My favorite, favorite kind of celebrity interview. So that is what is making me happy this week. If you want links for what we recommended, plus some more recommendations, sign up for our newsletter. You can do that at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. One last thing before we go. For an upcoming episode, we want to know who are your favorite American Idol contestants of all time. You can vote now at npr.org/American Idol. Again, you can vote for your favorite American Idol contestants at npr.org/American Idol. And that brings us to the end of our show. Stephen Thompson, Glenn Weldon, Aisha Harris, thanks to all of you for being here. I'm always delighted when we're all together.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Me too.
This episode was produced by Candace Lim and edited by Jessica Reedy. And Hello Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. Thanks for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you all next week when we will be talking about the classic movie, Titanic.